Friends, I'm going to try to keep this one short, but it's going to be hard because many of you know this is my favorite scripture text in the whole of the Bible, John chapter 1. And some of you were probably listening to those words and were like, I don't even know what he's saying right now because, you know, it's a word and it was there and it was not there and it was before and it was after. I mean, it just kind of goes back and forth with all these things. And of course, that's why I love it, right? I love it because it really dives into everything that we think about as civilization. It gets into philosophy. It gets into all of the many ways that religion actually serves as this foundation and this comprehensiveness for all of humanity. It gets into this idea of what does it mean for God to be in flesh, to be able to be touched, to be embodied, to be this word that we use, incarnated. What does it mean for God to go from just being a thought and being an abstraction to actually being real? And it's the philosophical underpinnings for how all of that works. So John chapter 1 is the beginning of everything. In many ways, it actually gets to the beginning even before Genesis 1, right? It gets to the very heart of who God is and how God acts in the world. And it tells us that God is word. God is speech. God is language. God is this one who decides to create and make meaning. And so this word that we hear is a word that we are familiar with because of Genesis 1. What is the word that God said? Let there be light. Light. What does it mean to speak light into our lives and into the world? What does it mean for us to take the nights and the darkness and the shadows and all of those things that exist and to go, I'm going to turn a light on right now? What does it mean for you and I to read this text in John chapter 1 and go, God wants to become flesh in me, in my life this week? God wants to show up tangibly in the flesh with skin on in me, in you, in everyone that you see right here. That God wants us to walk out into the world and speak and say, light, light, light. That wherever we're going around in our world this week, where we find darkness, we go, you know what? I have something to say about that. Light. What if you and I chose this week to be the kind of people who walk around and go, oh, I'm going to turn the lights on for people? What if that was our posture to how we approached our day? What if you and I turn the lights on for the people around us? What might it mean for you and I to go tell it on the mountain? Now, we all know the song. We sang it, first song, right? We all sang it together, go tell it on the mountain, right? We're all familiar with those words. And yet, I bet most of us aren't actually familiar with the backstory to go tell it on the mountain. It is this African-American spiritual. It has deep roots in oppression and justice. And what does it mean for you and I as a people to acknowledge that not everyone has had the lights turned on for them? That there's a full world that is often in the midst of oppression. That there's a full world that is in need of justice. And what did it mean for an entire group of people, a racial, ethnic group of people, to create these words and to sing to one another Oh, go tell it on the mountain, friends. What does it mean for you and I to come to this text in John chapter 1 and hear that this light is for all people? And to recognize that pretty much everything that had been written before this, even in this scripture book of ours, and across the religions of the world, were often tribal and sectarian in nature. And that John busts through that and says, no, no, no. This isn't just light for one group of people or one religious tradition. No, this is light for all people. Everyone gets to walk in the light because Jesus Christ is being made flesh and dwelling in and among us, and that all who believe, all who receive, can become the children of God. What does it mean for us to hear that message fresh and go, oh, that's right. The world hasn't always believed that. And in fact, not only do we go back in the ancient world and go, oh, obviously some of them didn't believe that, but for us to bring in the 2025 and go, wow, there's a lot of people acting like that only some matter, that only a few groups should matter. When the reality of it is God's interested in each and every person, each and every group, each and every group of race, of ethnicity, of gender, you name it, you name a category of people, and God's going, ah, I want to become flesh for you as well. This is not a gospel that prioritizes any powerful group over those who are being oppressed. No, this is the kind of gospel that gets enfleshed in the life of this backwoods Galilean who no one would have cared about. His name's Jesus, by the way, if you didn't figure that part out. You don't pick Jesus in the first century in Galilee to go, you know what? Let's enflesh in that, friends. Let's incarnate in that. We as human beings go, oh, if I'm going to create a message for all of humanity, I'm going to pick someone powerful. I'm going to pick someone who has a platform, right? Who has a microphone of some sort, and I'm going to go that direction. And that's not how God does it. God, being the Word, speaks light in the midst of the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. When light comes on the scene, friends, oh, we look around and go, oh, I had no idea. I didn't know this meaning in my life. I didn't know this meaning in the world. I thought we were stuck in this place of darkness. And friends, that's what I hear when I hear our conversations today in 2026. Here on January 4th, 2026, when you and I talk to one another, when I hear the conversations we have with our family members, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our student peers, I hear us talking about the darkness winning rather than us speaking light into the world. Instead of us saying, oh, there, this is the opportunity. See, light doesn't mean much in a room full of light, does it? There's a lot of light shining in here right now. But when you turn the lights down, when the blinds come down, and you light a candle, that candle means something. It means more than all of the other lights shining at the moment. It provides hope. It provides illumination. It provides revelation. It inspires us. We call that, this word for this season, epiphany. It's an epiphany for us. It is literally God showing up in the midst of what seems like the worst of the worst of the worst. What might it mean for you and I to embody that kind of message right now in our world? What does it mean for you and I to walk out there today and go, oh, I'm going to turn the lights on everywhere I go? And it doesn't take much, friends. Like the candle, it often takes simply acknowledging hope, simply acknowledging that God is in the midst of all of this, simply saying, you know what? I believe something else can happen here. I believe that God is working in this situation. Wait a minute. I believe more than that. I believe that God is in me, working in the world in this situation. And I believe that God is working in you in the world in these circumstances. And when I believe, guess what happens? Just as the text says, you and I become the very children of God, empowered with that same word, that same ability, that same responsibility, to say, let there be light. And guess what, friends? When you do it, there is light. And there is day one. That's how it happens, friends. You and I decide to create a new day because God has empowered us to do it. Because God becomes enfleshed in us, just as God was enfleshed all the way back here 2,000 and really 30 some years ago, but we'll call it 2026 just to be nice to us all, right? What if you and I believe that we can go tell the world and light it up?